Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Pray for the Hendersons, if you will. Pastor Henderson's mother, as you know, passed away, and the funeral was today. Glad that our loved ones who do pass away know the Lord with the promises that we will see them again. It's a wonderful blessing. Matthew chapter 5. We're going to be looking tonight at the blessedness of peacemaking. Contrary to the world, it just desires to fight. The Christians don't have to fight. What they do fight for is their faith in God. Fight the good fight of faith. But fighting one another is not part of that. So, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gives one of these beatitudes or pronounced blessings, that's what that means. Matthew 5, 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And how will that affect me, called children of God? Well, once you've experienced God's peace in your heart, you will want to share that peace with others. Again, Father, we ask that you'd move our hearts to enjoy the truth, receive it, and live it. For your name's sake and glory, Father. Amen. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." What does that mean? I give you peace, but not as the world does. The world's peace is based on acceptable circumstances, agreeable circumstances. Our peace that Jesus gives is not based on agreeable circumstances in the world, because it's an inside job. And it's not conducive to what's going on in the outside in the world. That's true peace. How would you define a peacemaker? A peace faker, a peace breaker. We all have played these roles before. The peace faker stresses out himself. The peace breaker stresses out others. Only the peacemaker can be a stress breaker while experiencing peace in his own life and encouraging it in the hearts of others. God gives true peacemakers three job responsibilities to fulfill. The very first one, we are responsible to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and make peace with God. We're responsible. Every sinner is responsible for that, to believe God through Christ. So the first blessedness of peacemaking is make peace with God and yourself. Isn't it wonderful to know that you can be at peace with God? That is salvation peace. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, if you will, please, and we'll look at some of these passages on why God gave his son that we might have peace with him. Somebody had to pay the price for our fighting against God, our sins against God. And Christ was the one that did it. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll read verses 13 through 17. Ephesians 2:13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh or brought near, is what that means, by the blood of Christ. For he, that's Jesus, is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. What is he talking about? He's talking about Jew and Gentile worshiping in the temple with a partition there. Gentiles in the back, Jews in the front. Women in the back, men in the front. Not anymore. The wall's been broken down. Verse 15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity or the hatred, the war, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. The law actually condemned us, so it was good, but it was our enemy too, because it showed us our sin. For to make unto himself twain of one new man, so making peace. So Jew and Gentile are one. In Jesus Christ, there's a new thing. A new man is one body. Okay? Verse 16. That he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So people who truly come to Christ don't have to fight one another culturally. Verse 17. And came and preached peace unto you which were afar off, that's the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, that would be the Jews. Why were the Jews nigh or closer? Same nationality, that's part of it. But their nationality particularly had what? They had the Bible. They were given the Bible, the Old Testament. So they were drawn near to God through the Word. They had it first. By the way, if you're first, you have responsibilities for being first. First child in the family, on. It goes throughout the Bible. So their special responsibilities go by being first. So don't break in line, because the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. All right. Colossians chapter 1. Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 1. By the way, that breaking in line was a joke, you know. Don't take that seriously. What the world advances as first will actually be last, judgment day. And what they esteem to be last will actually come first. And those are the believers in Christ. They will be first. Amen. You suffer with them, you will reign with them too. Colossians 1:19-20. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. So when you've seen Jesus, you've seen all there is of God in human flesh. That's what fullness means. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Okay, let's go to the next page then, number 2. So, peace, first of all, salvation peace we're responsible for. And then the second piece is help other people make peace with God. And that's called what? Evangelism. Helping other people make peace with God is evangelism. Have you ever had the privilege of leading someone? Yes. Have you ever had the privilege of leading someone to place their faith in Jesus Christ for their eternal salvation? Well, that's one of the most joyful things you could ever do. You know, here's a wonderful thing about giving out the gospel. I was talking to Brent Spittler. He, you know, runs that funeral home and everything. And so he was doing Pastor Henderson's mother's funeral today, Pauline. And I said, hey, he said, I understand my son plays basketball with you. His son's 43. And he looked at me and he said, you don't really play, do you? And I said, last time I hit somebody, I said, yeah, I'm just a little slower than I used to be. He said, oh, I can't believe it, you know. He said, oh, my knees, they're first thing to go. You know, I said, yeah, I get a little trouble, on and on. And then I said, you know, before those games, we give the gospel. And, you know, this is all going on. They're all talking up there and everything, you know, and getting ready for the service to start. And he said, you mean you give the gospel before a basketball game? I said, sure do, because we want people to have peace with God. That's evangelism. So whatever God allows you to get involved in, it needs to involve those things. Helping other people make peace with God. Evangelism. These things ought to always be on your mind. So that's good. And when you lead someone to the Lord, if you never have, then ask the Lord to give you somebody. Because it is really just a wonderful experience. Every believer, let me read the rest of this. What a wonderful and joyful time. If that hasn't happened to you about leading someone to Christ, ask God to use you to help another come to Christ. Maybe you could invite them to come to church with you. It's just simple things. Give a gospel tract. Invite people to come to church with you. You know, open your mouth. Put yourself forward in a proper sense. Not in a rude or obnoxious sense, but let people know that, you know, you serve the Lord, not a religious quack. We're not talking about that, you know. We're just talking about being a godly person. And this is an attractive thing. Jesus Christ is the most beautiful person that ever lived. And when you trust him as your Savior, he indwells you, and he's an attractive person. That's right. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's what he means. Anybody who died on a cross for your sins is an attractive person. So this is what we need to do. Just invite them to church and we'll be faithful, Lord willing, to get the gospel in before they leave somewhere, all right? But remember this, every believer is an ambassador for Jesus. That's a person sent from another country representing the king. That's what we are. We're sent from the Lord representing a king of another place. He loved us and died on the cross to offer us forgiveness of sin and peace in our hearts. We ought pray to share the good news with someone soon. Okay, so when's the last time, you don't have to raise your hand or say anything, but when's the last time you witnessed to somebody? Now, somebody was telling me back there in the sound booth and everything about witnessing something. I thought, man, that's great. I love hearing stories like that. You know, this and this was a situation. It just seemed like God opened it up, and I shared the gospel. That's great. And that encouraged me to be a better witness. But they didn't want to sound proud, so I said, then there's other times I didn't do it. I said, well, forget about that right now. Let's just stick with when we did. Let's just stick with when we do witness, all right? How many of you want to remember all the times you didn't step up to the plate when you should have? No, let's just talk about the times we did. That's so much better, right? And it's a joyful thing. So when you get an opportunity, pray for one. God will give you one. If you pray for one, he will give you one. 2 Corinthians 5:20 through 21. Think of yourself as an ambassador for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. It's like this. As though God did beseech you by us. It's like God's begging people to come to him through you. You're the messenger. We pray you in behalf of Christ. That's what stead means. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is you witnessing to somebody. For he, that's God the Father, hath made him, God the Son, to be sin for us. Here's the good news. He knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So if you want to have the righteousness of God, you must trust Christ. The rest of it's fake anyways. Created in righteousness and true holiness. You get that from Jesus Christ. And then the third thing about peace. Make peace with other people and help other people be at peace with each other. And that's called what? Reconciliation. So you have salvation peace with God. You have the peace of bringing people together. That's evangelism. Make peace with God. And then reconciliation has to do with relationships. How many of you have had an argument with someone this week? Don't raise your hand. This week, about 10 minutes ago. No, okay. All right. Don't go so far back, you know. Oh, man, my dad used to, I remember when we were going to church sometimes. My dad said, y'all are not going to church with me anymore. You're going to start riding with your mother. I said, why is that? I am so full of the flesh by the time I get to trying to straighten y'all out. I can't even think about my message. Oh, boy. I was thinking, well, maybe you shouldn't have so many kids. Nah, I didn't say that. 5 and 1 later, 6, you know. Oh, well. One girl, 5 sons. We had a good time. You know, I used to talk about reconciliation and everything. This is what the last point is. I used to argue with my sister all the time, more like she argued with me. That's what I think. I think she argued with me. One time, I'll just take a few minutes because this is kind of funny. So my mom made this pecan pie, right? And it just happened to be my favorite at the time. I might like cherry better now. I don't know. But if you want to make either one of them, just bring them. I'll just take both. But anyway, isn't it a way to get a pie of them? But anyways, so there was a quarter pie left, right? And mom said, one of you cut it. My mom's all practical wisdoms, you know. And she said, one of you cut it, and the other one gets to choose first. So I said, you cut it. So she purposefully made one piece a little bit larger than the other. And, you know, we were like 10 and 12 or something like this. And she says, you know, the good thing to do. She tried to psychology on me like, I'm not even in high school and I'm already getting psychology. I said, she said, the right thing to do, I think, would be let your sister have the larger piece. I'm going to go ahead and cut it. I'm going to be humble and cut it, but, you know. I said, okay. I took the big piece. Boom. You know. And she said, you are such a jerk. So we needed some reconciliation. Oh, boy. We laugh about that now, but it wasn't so funny at the time. I couldn't even enjoy that piece of pie, by the way. So, but real life arguments, you know, are a different story, right? Here's some sobering comments. If we don't care to be right with others, we don't care to be right with God. This is true. Our flesh never wants peace. It lusts for war. It's our flesh. We're commanded to do what we can to live peaceably. Notice this, with all men. Not just believers, but all men. Romans 12:18. All right, let's go to the next page there. Jesus doesn't even want us to come to worship if we have offended someone or they have offended us and we have tried to make peace with them. He wants us to make peace. So, Matthew 5:23-24 teaches us that on the Sermon on the Mount still. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. So you should make efforts to reconcile all broken relationships. Every one of them. And if you get a no, then you just pray and offer it up to the Lord. But your heart needs to remain clean, clear before the Lord. Some people don't want peace. They'd rather have war. David writes about that. I am for peace, but they are for war. So, it's interesting. One of our young fellows was telling about this Muslim at work, and he said, "Why do you believe about being a Muslim?" He said, "How do you go to heaven?" And he said, "Oh, I'm not sure. I have read the Quran." It's like, okay, what's it say about going to heaven? Well, I think you might need to get married, and I can't remember the other one. And you say you're a Muslim. Oh, yeah. And that's all you know about going to heaven, that you might need to get married and do some kind stuff or something or other. And my wife always gets it wrong. She said, yeah, and get seven virgins, right? And she told me this. I said, honey, it's not seven. It's 70. 70. Apparently she hasn't read the Quran. But anyway, neither have I. But I know that part, some of it. That's going to be salvation peace. Without salvation peace, there can't be any peace religiously. You know that, right? So you got to go back to step one on that. And then some of our young people were talking about waiting to be married to engage in physical intimacies. And this Muslim boy said, what? I never met anybody like that. Isn't that sad? Never met anybody like that. Okay. What does God love, folks? God loves peacemaking. Peacemaking. If you desire peace with others and make efforts to live that way, notice this, you will be called a child of God by others. That's what the passage is teaching. Other people will say, that's a child of God. I'm not trying to fight with people. Speaking the truth in love, being kind to people, telling them the truth of heaven and hell, telling them the truth of dealing with our own flesh, you'll be called a child of God. You're just going to be different. They'll see Christ in you. The more you seek to bless others, see, it's ministry-mindedness, things turn, the less stress you will have to bear. Okay, according to the power the Lord hath given me to edification, Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 13:11, he says, brethren, be perfect, spiritually mature, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, that's the one-mindedness, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. What's that mean? It means he'll manifest himself to you. And I certainly want that. I want the manifestation of God and his peace in my life. All God's people say, amen. All right, let's look at our prayer list.